Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930 WRVC present Tri-State Viewpoint. To join the program, call 304-399-8255 or toll free at 877-420-8255. Now, from the Kindred Capital Building in Huntington, Bobby Nelson and Gene Dean.
And yes, listeners, here we are, Bobby Nelson and Gene Dean on Tri-State Viewpoints. And I'll give you a heads up, toward the end of the program, we've got another giveaway. I'm not going to say what it is, but we've got something to give away, and we've got a guest, and we love to hear from you, so do give us a call. I'm going to tell you those numbers again, 304-399-8255 or 1-877-420-8255. Now, Bobby, we've got a great guest, a new guest, really, at least new to me.
Well, I've known this person for a number of years. His name is Dr. Jerry Beller. The husband of Mary Beth Beller.
Our regular Friday guest.
Yes, Dr. Beller recently retired as chair of the Department of Political Science at West Virginia State University. He's written a number of papers on the national and international affairs, so he's a good person to have on the show to talk about the big issue.
Oh, yes, is, the very big issue.
And Dr. Beller, welcome to Tri-State Viewpoint.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
And hello, Dr. Beller. It's good to be talking
hello.
With you. This is Gene, and looking forward to our conversation.
Good.
Okay, Dr. Beller, the big topic, of course, around the country is the shutdown of the government and the pending debt ceiling crisis that's due middle of next week. What is your take on all this, and who do you ascribe the blame, and do you see a way out? That's a bunch of questions, but pick one of them.
Take your choice.
It's a hard one. Well, let me just say that first, I've just read just recently the recent news about what the House offer was to the president. Remember the negotiations yesterday. And they involved the kind of interesting features they offered to raise the debt limit to November 20th, that's just about a week before Thanksgiving, and to cut some of the sequestration meat cuts on the discretionary spending by going into cuts on Medicare and Medicaid. They say entitlement spending, so I assume that might include Social Security as well, but no details there. And that they... would then also open up the government next week, subject to an agreement to discuss a long-term debt limit issue. And they also want to continue to address the health care law. A lot of details left out there. There are two or three features of that I can't see the president or the Senate Democrats accepting. One of the interesting features about this is actually that the Senate Republicans have been saying for a little while now that they want to get out of this mess altogether and discuss a much longer-term debt limit talk so that it isn't constantly coming up and for the short term. And the Senate Democrats want to do that, too. So I think the big issue is whether the Senate is going to get a bipartisan resolution passed that's relatively clean, they say, but with opening up debt limit talks for 3 months, 6 months, rather than just 6 weeks, that what seems to be the House offer. So there's also, you know, there may be a conflict between the president and the Senate Democrats on that, because the president sort of hinted at a shorter-term debt limit talks, a little more like what the House talked about today in his press conference Wednesday. Of course, everything's up in the air, and we don't know exactly what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, well, Dr. Beller, the Senate apparently is going to vote tomorrow to pass what they think is a clean resolution, which would simply open the government and raise the debt ceiling without any parameters. This idea of kicking around certain dates, but do you know what is interesting? It seems like the... for a while there, it was just the government shutdown that was all the talk. Now the debt ceiling, because that would be more devastating. But it seems the president and members of Congress on both parties have been meeting every day this week, and there has been some progress. that they might come to some agreement before next week. There'll be a meeting on the weekend, Gene, and all, and so we might
My
see
goodness, something. Congress actually working on the weekend? Wow.
Well, they're staffed, I think.
Well, yeah. Dr. Bella, does it make any sense to you to raise the debt ceiling for that short period of time, ending it just before Thanksgiving, when, of course, Congress will take another recess? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just not common sense.
Well, it's stupid. I really do believe that this is like holding the country ransom, you know, in order to get a legislative result, and that's insurrectionary politics. It's not politics. It's normal. And to hold the national and global economy as hostage on something like this is just absurd. And to have these just short-term terms, like 6 weeks from now, to have the same to come up again, isn't going to solve that much. And my impression is that Wall Street and financial markets and everything might go well if there's some longer-term resolution of this and get this whole debt limit thing out of the way. There should be a way of negotiating out any further discussion of debt limits, because that's just simply an approval to borrow to pay already existing debt and obligations. And I just think that to go on like this is absurd. And I think the Senate Republicans, I think, are really rebelling against the House Republican stand on this, because they understand the problem.
Yeah, Dr. Beller, Senator Susan Collins, a Republican from Maine, came out of the meeting today with the president. She had offered, because she is one of the more moderate, she's got a little sanity. And she she said that they all agree that we have a deficit we have to deal with at some point, but it shouldn't be dealt with in terms of trying to tie it to deadlines for debt ceiling and all. She has proposed that we advance the debt ceiling and the government thing a year ahead, and let's go ahead and get that behind us and talk. Now, she offered that at the meeting today. And she indicated that the president listened. He didn't commit to it, but there are a number, Gene, of moderates in the Republican Party who are beginning to say we need to do something, because there was a poll out yesterday that really lambasted the Republicans. I want to give you by a 22-point margin, the public thinks that the Republican Party is more to blame for the showdown.
I saw those figures, yes.
And there are some other very devastating figures on the Republicans. So it's beginning to look like we better get serious about this. And this may have added to this opening up of the hearing, because the people now are starting to respond. And these polls, this one, the lowest day above the Congress as a whole, you know, around 9%, but the Republicans are at 24%, the lowest since they have done it. So that may help get this open. And you know what else is interesting, Dr. Beller and Dr. Dean?
Well, thank you. You're
and
just
Dr. Anderson. And Dr. Anderson. Obamacare suddenly, except for Ted Cruz, has kind of been off the table. They're not talking about it as much every day.
I know, because they're seeing that people like it, and it is successful in spite of the snafu with the first day or so online. But people want this to happen, and Congress needs to listen. And, you know, what we mentioned yesterday, Bobby, was about this Representative Reed Ribble of Wisconsin, and another 50 House Republicans sent this letter to Speaker Boehner, asking him or urging him, as part of the negotiations, to make cuts to Social Security benefits before the debt ceiling's raised, and raising the retirement age, no cost of living adjustments, and something that I'm not sure that I understand, those cost of living adjustments, chained CP. No, just chained CP. Dr. Bella, what does that mean? Do you know?
I'm Dr. Bell here. Say it again.
It measures the rate of inflation, so it would be
consumer price index.
It wouldn't be chained to that.
Okay, so CP stands for consumer product.
Consumer price index.
Well, why didn't they put the I in there? Then I would have known what it was. CPI, I understand. CP.
But it is that.
Anyway.
It amazes me, though, if the Republicans are so unpopular now, to then be proposing, you know, raising the retirement age for Social Security and reducing the amount of Social Security benefit and cutting Medicare and Medicaid, which affects a lot of people who are not necessarily directly on Medicaid, but, you know, for a whole bunch of other reasons in the family. I think that this is a highly unpopular thing to propose, and I just marvel at the way this is progressing right now. That's just going to add to the negativity.
Absolutely. Yeah, Dr. Bella, we do need to take a commercial break. I'm sure you're familiar with the fact that we have to get commercials in here. but we'll be back in two or three minutes. This is Tri-State Viewpoint with Bobby Nelson and Gene Dean, and our guest is Dr. Jerry Bella. And don't forget, you can give us a call. We'd love to hear from you at 304-399-8255 or 1-877-420-8255. This is Super Talk, 94.1 FM and AM 930. We'll be back in two or three minutes.
Hey, welcome back to Tri-State Viewpoint. I'm having trouble hearing here. I hope I got my sound on. Hey, Dr. Bell, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
oh,
listen.
Good.
Gene and I here were talking about, what were we talking about?
Well, we were talking about Ted Cruz, actually.
This guy is...
I hear Dr. Bella laughing, and yes, it is laughable, I agree.
But he's having an impact on he's become the darling of the Tea Party now. And what's so strange, Dr. Bella, he has become the leader of the hardline conservative Tea Parties in the House, who are taking his signals more than some Speaker Boehner.
And I think he believes that he can be a presidential contender in about 3 years' time.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of luck.
They're lining up now. That's part of this. Some of these Rand Paul, and you got Governor Christie, and you got...
They didn't invite Christie to that, whatever. What was that,
Value Summit conference?
Yeah.
Cruz was there. He was like the big star, but he was heckled a couple. They had a,
I love it.
Dr. Biller, with the polls showing that the public is getting increasingly fed up, not only with the way the Republicans are acting, but with Congress as a whole, and also some have said President Obama should get more involved. Now, for a while, he did, Gene. He didn't get involved. He let the House go back and forth, mm-hmm, but then mm-hmm. he started having these... meetings at the White House. He's invited both parties down. He invited all the Republicans down for a meeting yesterday, but Speaker Boehner only allowed 20 to go, 20 of the leadership.
And now, actually, they're faulting the president for not going to Capitol Hill, mm-hmm. As he is inviting them to the White House. Oh, well.
Well, there are some problems with those kinds of concerns about whether or not the president has been involved. Since about March, there was a decision by the Republicans. So this was their decision not to negotiate on this stuff until, you know, Obama had to give some concessions. They weren't going to give any concessions. And they were just, you know, waiting for this challenge on the debt ceiling and shutting the government down. So, to say that he wasn't involved is, I think, a little bit misleading. To say disingenuous is putting it mildly.
Well, they shut the door in his face in the beginning, didn't they?
That's right. And, what is he supposed to do? Come and beg for a discussion?
Yeah. Well, you know, go ahead, Dr. Beller.
And having a discussion where the other people, the discussion is about whether you're going to shut the government down or pay your debts and destroy the economy is, maybe you're not supposed to have a discussion with people like that, you know, if that's what their offer is, rather than shooting legislative ideas back and forth. I think that there's an ethical problem even negotiating with positive takers of that kind, if you don't mind my use of that language.
Well, you're right. Dr. Beller and Gene, this all started when over the budget, the House and the Senate had different budgets, as usual.
As always.
And they were to meet in a conference committee. And so Harry Reid and Speaker Boehner got together, and Harry Reid accepted the $987 billion, I think, is the, and said, we'll start with that number, which is what the Republicans wanted.
Yeah.
And Boehner took it back to his conference, and again with the hardliners, they would not allow that, and so they would he won't appoint conferees. So it really is a legislative matter passing the budget now.
Oh, absolutely.
And so when the fiscal year ended, there was no budget.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to authorize a continuing resolution, and that's what started all this. And the president wasn't involved at that
mm-hmm.
point, and he let them mess around. And finally, when it became known, first they were going to use Obamacare as a bargaining chip now.
Mm-hmm.
But then we ran into this situation where the government was being shut down and is shut down. And it is just and the Republicans have no fallback plan.
Right,
they thought
right.
that they could just. So that's where we are.
Why do you think it is? Why do you think it is, Dr. Bella, that we're. Oh, okay. Well, I've got a question for him when he calls back. I want to ask him why he thinks it is that what we're hearing about now, the emphasis is on the debt ceiling, whereas the real problem right now is getting the government up and running again. So maybe this is Dr. Bella calling back.
There is also a reason for that, too, and it depends on whose ox is being gored in the financial community, Gene, and who that is. I think he's back.
Yeah, I think so. Dr. Bell, sorry we lost you there.
I don't know what happened there.
Well, I have a question for you, though. In the last, 5 days, maybe a week, the emphasis of what we're hearing is on the need to raise the debt ceiling. It's almost as though the fact that the whole government practically is shut down has lost priority. And to me, that would definitely be right now, a week before the debt ceiling question, that should be the priority to get the government back and running.
Yeah. Well, I think that getting the government running is pretty fundamental to dealing with any debt problem to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a number of people who are going to get back pay for not working. And, I think they're in a very sad situation. I know some people like that who really work really hard, and suddenly fighting forest fires, for example, and suddenly they're just kind of furloughed. And I think it's just insulting to those people for that to happen. But the debt ceiling thing is really the bigger issue in terms of the national and global economy, as the Fed's, the Treasury Department pays bills as they come in just based on the money they have on hand daily once they reach the debt ceiling, because they can't borrow any money to pay anything. So if they just pay what they have on hand, that means some debts don't get paid and people are going to start losing faith in the bonds that we rely upon to take care of people like me in retirement and so on.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And they're going to go someplace else for their collateral, and it's going to raise interest rates. It already is raising interest rates. So the Treasury Secretary testified to that before the Senate this week. And that is potentially a real disaster. I think it could be worse than the Great Recession.
Well, I think the worldwide ramifications, it's not just here in this country, but worldwide, as you say.
There's a huge amount of Japanese buying up of the U.S. bonds, and same in China.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to...
Are you there? Oh, dear.
Yeah,
we've lost him again. I don't know what's happening.
Well, while he's getting him back, we can... one of the reasons, and it is the debt thing is a higher priority, but nevertheless, the government shutdown is devastating too.
It is. I realize, one it is definitely enormously important, but in the meantime, we're just dragging on the shutdown.
But the reason this debt ceiling thing has really gotten a big priority is it is an international matter, as you point out to Dr. Beller, and the International Monetary Fund today said to you guys need to work this out because we could go into a global depression, not just in this country. We have all the, and this is debt that we have already incurred. That we're obligated. And some
we
of these
owe
people
the bill.
Who are now fighting against are voted for these. it just is a it is a really go around. But in West Virginia, Gene, in terms of the shutdown. 23,000 federal employees today are furloughed in West Virginia.
Just in this state.
Just in
this
state.
In our little state.
Over 800,000 nationwide. And I was reading an article today where at New River Gorge, now they're going to have the Bridge Day, I think,
Bridge
next
Day.
Week. But that is a national park, or the gorges, and they have these people working who aren't being paid. But they can't, they're only a third of them working, so they have these people coming from various states to look over this gorge, and they can't put a fence up or anything, and if anything happens, there's no one there to...
That's just
one small example of how it hits home.
Yeah. And I heard where the state of Utah is actually paying to reopen one or two or more of their national parks. Now, that's insulting when a state has to pick up what is a federal property. I just hope they get reimbursed eventually, and I guess we're just really having a tough time with getting Dr. Bella on the phone.
I'm getting a busy circuit, not a busy signal, but a busy circuit, so something's going on with the phone system, either on his end, our end, or statewide. I blame it on the Republicans.
Well, it is. If you go by the polls, it probably is. But, Gene, the good thing out of this, there are two good things that I see. One is the pressure that is starting to build up from the grassroots now, as well as the international community, is driving both the White House and the Congress, let's find some way out of this mess. And the fact that these meetings are going on constantly, he's meeting this afternoon with small business leaders, and the only holdup, it seems to me, I think now it looks like the Speaker Boehner and his are convinced that the president is not going to accept any deal that doesn't include opening the government and raising a debt ceiling. That he will not divide and say we'll open the government, but we'll keep the.
But don't they, Boehner in particular, want to throw in some concession on the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, and there's talk about this medical equipment tax. Do you think that would suffice?
Well, yeah. The president said if you will go ahead and pass, he said a clean the CR, which is just an argument. That I'll discuss anything with you.
Yeah.
And so they want to add conditions beforehand. He said, no, let's get the government open, and then we'll talk. Which
I
think makes
a
lot of sense.
They're worse than a feuding family. They really are. Listeners, we're going to news right now, and we hope you'll stay with us through this news break, and we hope that we might be able to get Dr. Bella back. As Ernie just told us, it's a circuit problem, and nevertheless, we'll keep trying. Stay with us.
You're listening to Tri-State Viewpoint on Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Welcome back to Tri-State Viewpoint.
That's us.
With Gene Dean and Roberto Nelson. We had Dr. Beller, and I believe we have him back, Gene.
Yeah, let's get talking to him right away.
Yeah, some problem with the phones, but we're glad to have you back, Dr. Beller.
Absolutely.
Gene, you had a question you wanted to ask him.
Well, I did, and it concerns the fact that we understand that there's worldwide implications for the raising of the debt ceiling. I mean, it could be an absolute disaster. And I do think that the debt ceiling will be raised. I hope it will be raised for longer than 6 weeks. But that being said, do you hear anything, Dr. Bella, that gives you any kind of comfort as to the lifting of the shutdown of the federal government? We need to, I mean, people are hurting here. And I think, Bobby, you were giving us some facts about the number of people that are affected right here in West Virginia.
Yeah, 23,000 federal employees in West Virginia, right here around us, over in the Social Security building here, over at the Corps of Engineers, or all over the state.
Yeah,
all over the state.
Exactly.
My daughter was, goes to school at the Sacred Heart Grade School here in Charleston, and they're going to do some rock climbing. The National Guard comes out and provides some rock climbing exercise for them. They had to stop that because, the shutdown.
Yeah.
And I guess, and I've heard a lot about field trips from schools and so on that shut down because of that. I think it's terrible.
Well, I mean,
In terms of hope, it seems to me there is some hope. It's going to happen because, when you're down to about a 4% approval rating for Congress, and the Republicans are given the major part of the blame, I think they're trying to negotiate terms of surrender right now, but trying not to lose face. And the tricky question is how can a negotiation be kept out so that they don't lose face? You have to do this somehow, rather than having what the Speaker
Well, we've heard about this medical equipment tax, which apparently the president would be happy with. And do you think that stands a chance of going through?
Yeah, but no, I don't think it is part of the deal to stop the shutdown. No, I think as part of a later deal after the government's opened up again, it probably would be included.
Oh, you don't think that it could be used as part of the lure to get the government open again, then?
Yeah, well, I know that's been discussed. I think it's going to be pretty difficult for that to happen because it'll sound like a concession in the in the wake of all of this. But it may be that that might be the more responsible thing to do in any case. But it seems like giving in on this. We got that. Now we're going to.
Well, somebody's got to give a little bit somehow.
Well, I think it's very clear what the president has said, that let's get the government open, let's clear up this debt ceiling, and I will talk with you on any subject, but I'm not going to have this as a condition, because you're putting a gun to my head saying, we'll only do this if you do that.
Right.
So he's saying, I'll talk about the Affordable Care Act, I'll talk about medical device, I'll talk about he said anything is open, but let's act first.
You've got to take some action.
Well, I think that's sort of what the House deal implied. If I read it right today, and is that, let's discuss the terms of what we will talk about once the shutdown is stopped. And I think that suggests that they're ready to make a deal on that. But I can't see giving a concession ahead of time before the talks, only a concession, okay, we'll talk about it. And
well,
I think that's more likely to happen.
There's an old adage, to strike while the iron is hot. And it seems to me that when this horrible situation of the bodies of our military members being brought home and there being no money to pay the death benefits, would have been a really good time for somebody to cave and say, let's get rid of this. Let's do the right thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they did. At least they passed the bill to do that, to fund that.
Well, until after good old Joe Manchin had contacted the Fisher House Foundation. So I'm very proud of Joe for doing that.
I think the real thing came when Andrea Mitchell, who's a nationwide correspondent, was had a very emotional story about this, and several. But that was one of those things you couldn't pass up. But the Republicans have been sending each day or two, fund this, fund that, like pick and choose winners and losers.
Oh,
and
yeah,
you can't do that.
Yeah,
and the other thing on this, Dr. Beller and Gene, is that the President of the United States has a good deal of authority, but he has to work in conjunction with the Congress, and that's what our Constitution says. But for the Republicans to say on major policy issues, before we will approve a budget, you have to do this, he is refusing, because not only does it affect him, but it affects future presidents. If they can do this at this time, next time there's a problem, they'll say to some former president, maybe even a Republican president, no, you got to do this before we allow the budget to go through. I mean, that just is, you can't do that. You can't run a government.
Dr. Beller, do you think there's any basis for what has been said by some people that the president himself, actually, according to the Constitution, has the ability to increase the debt ceiling? Do you see any legitimacy in that?
I think there is some legitimacy in the constitutional issue. If you read the 14th Amendment, and I've been reading some stuff, some law review articles about this, and it seems to me that there is a rather strong argument there in the 14th Amendment that you cannot call the debt of the United States into question, which implies that it must be paid. And the president could make an argument that he's required to fulfill his constitutional obligation and should go forward with that. However, I think that the president, in his press conference, explained why he can't do that, that even if there were a constitutional basis for it, there would still be, in many people's minds, some real question about the legality of, I'll say, the bonds that go out to pay for these things, because others would question the constitutionality and the legal security of those bonds.
Yeah. Do you think that if he did that, they would try and impeach him?
Oh, yeah, of course they would. I think they'd like to impeach him anyway.
Well, they'd do that right off the bat. Even if that didn't occur, you could, like Dr. Bell, you could see a protracted constitutional question going all the way to the Supreme Court, and that just up the road to go down. But
that just creates more financial problems.
Well, we're about out of time, but I want to ask you. I've taken a position. I think we're going to go right up to the default, and maybe not meet the deadline and see the debt ceiling. And what do you think, Dr. Beller? Do you think something will be done by next Thursday? Is it June
17th?
I actually think that there's, let's say, a 50-50 chance.
Sound like a politician.
That's because I'm a basic optimist, not because I'm looking at the facts that closely. But.
You can be on either side of this issue. Once it's I'm right.
Don't call me a mugwump.
Hey, listen, very quickly, though, I think the people of West Virginia need to know that our three representatives in the Congress from West Virginia, Shelley Moore Capito, David McKinley, and Nick Rahal. Rahal has stood with the president, and let's get this thing done. Capito and McKinley have gone right down the line with the hardline Republicans in voting against this, voting against what I believe are the best interests of West Virginia. And so if you want to try to get something done, if you are tired of what's going on, write your congressman or call at least those two Republicans.
Well, Dr. Beller, it's been great to have you with us this afternoon. Appreciate it very much. And
well, thank you.
We apologize for the telephone circuit problems that we were having. We don't know where or what or how, but anyway, thank you for coming back to us, so we appreciate it.
Thank you again, Dr. Beller.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. We are now going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to tell you about a lot of things that are coming up this weekend. It's going to be a lovely weekend, and we want you to know all the things that are going on, and you can take a choice of the different items. And also, for those of you who either weren't listening yesterday or who didn't get in time, we found that we actually had an additional pair of tickets for tomorrow night's symphony concert, and we will give those away on the air as soon as we come back. So stay with us. This is Tri-State Viewpoint on Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930 with Bobby Nelson and Gene Dean. We'll be right back.
Now back to Tri-State Viewpoint on Supertalk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Hey, welcome back to Tri-State Viewpoint. Gene, I was going to start out with some of these events, but you have a giveaway. Let's go ahead and get that up front, so people have time to call in.
Okay, we're going to tell you about all the different things that are going on this weekend, because I know everybody wants to get out in this beautiful weather and have a good time. But yesterday, I think we miscounted on the number of tickets that we had to give away for the Huntington Symphony Orchestra concert tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the Keith Albee. And so I do have one more pair, just one pair of tickets that we'll be glad for the first listener to call in and have these tickets. Our numbers are 304-399-8255. Or the toll-free number is 1-877-420-8255. So give us a call if you'd like to have these tickets, and Ernie will take your name and address and tell you how to get them, and I know it's going to be a wonderful evening. What else do we have going on tomorrow night, Bobby?
Boy, there are a number of things going on tomorrow and this weekend in the tri-state. I mean, the weather's going to be beautiful. Marshall's out of town playing away down in Florida, so they're just a plethora.
Oh, that's a good word.
But I want to mention a musical that's going to open tonight over at the old Huntington High School, former Huntington High School.
Renaissance Center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is a musical called Shenandoah. You may remember the movie with James Stewart, but it is a wonderful, wonderful story. It has all the pathos.
My, did you swallow a dictionary?
I was trying to convey this is a wonderful musical, and it's a local cast, but they're all veteran actors and actresses, a cast of 40, and it's going to be this weekend, tomorrow and Saturday, next weekend, and the following weekend. And if you really want to see a wonderful musical with an excellent cast, this would be a good thing to do either this weekend or the next.
Yeah, and actually, don't put it off too long, because, Bobby, it is this weekend and the following weekend, just two weekends.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
next weekend. It opens this weekend. I think it probably opens tonight.
Tonight at 8 p.m. Yeah, now, it says here October 11th, 12th, that's today and tomorrow.
Yes.
Next week, the 18th and 19th, and October 13th to the 20th.
Right, those are the two Sundays.
Two Sundays, so we got it, and so we're in good shape.
Okay, well, let's see. If you want to go to a fall festival, then we've got that going on down in Old Central City. There's going to be entertainment, antiques appraisals, and just a lot of good things going on both today and tomorrow in Old Central City. I love that place. Don't you love the quilts that are painted on the walls
there?
That looks so good.
That is growing to be a nice festival.
It really is.
Well, there is a very interesting activity. It's over in Ohio because we are a tri-state here. We beam out to the tri-state.
We are the tri-state. This is tri-state viewpoint.
Yeah, and this is one that's going on for a number of years. It's the Bob Evans Farm Festival, and it goes from today through Sunday, and they have all kinds of good things going on there, and all kinds of music and contests and everything, free demonstrations, and probably some good Bob Evans sausage and gravy.
Oh, I bet. Oh, yummy.
So take that in, folks. That's just a short drive from here.
Yeah, it's not very far.
No,
that's right.
So it's something we want to do.
It's a very popular festival, too. Yeah, music and children's activities, demonstrations, crafts, everything. It's going to be great. It's actually in a little place called Bidwell.
Yeah.
I've never been to Bidwell,
Ohio,
but
it is little. It's farm country.
Yeah, but as you say, it's not very far away. I mean, it's before you come to Gallipolis, isn't it?
Right,
yeah,
out that way, sure.
Okay, all right. Now, also tonight. Now, this is something that goes on for more than 1 week. Tonight, October the 11th, and again on November the 1st and December the 6th. But tonight is what they're calling a night out for kids. It's from 5 until 9 tonight. And it includes, let's see, a rock wall, swimming pool, basketball courts, pizza party for children ages 4 to 12. And, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, here I am telling all about this, and I see that the information says that the registration deadline is the day before. Take that one out.
Well, I tell you what we can do. This is October Halloween month, and Jean, I just read the other day where the purchasing and buying for gifts and things on Halloween is second only now to Christmas.
Oh, really?
People get really caught up. They like to dress up and everything, but I want to run down a list of haunted houses and haunted places that begin this weekend.
Have you seen those wonderful decorations downtown? They put corn stalks and everything around the lampposts over. Around the Pullman Square area. Looks lovely. Yeah.
Well, there's we have the annual one down at Camden Park. They have the haunted house, and that's underway this weekend.
Right.
Also at Dreamland down at Dreamland Pool. They have their, and that's at 8 p.m. Starts today, goes over the weekend for the next few weekends. All these are on like two or three weekends.
Yeah.
Go through the months. But you got the one at Dreamland, you got the one at Camden Park, and then you got at Carter Caves. They have a haunted trail. And that begins 7:30 this weekend, next weekend. And then you also have, believe it or not, a haunted tunnel.
A haunted tunnel?
Over in Ironton.
Okay, tell me about the haunted tunnel.
Well, what they said is bring a flashlight. it's at an intersection of the two highways there, and Ernie may have been there. I don't know. He looks a little haunted to me.
The Republicans are going to be there because they're scaring people left and right.
Very good, Ernie.
I guess Gene, those might cover the haunted activities. There may be others over in Ashland and over at Ashland Central Park and a few places, but this is where it all begins, and it'll go for the rest of the month. And it's just amazing how many people get, and pumpkins is so much a part of how the month of October, and there's everything under the sun. I heard today where there's now pumpkin vodka coming out of Russia.
Yum.
It's amazing. But a couple other things, you have some things there.
Well, the one that I think, and I do believe it's misspelled here in the newspaper. It's the maze at Cooper Farms. Now, a maze that you walk through, that's an M-A-Z-E, isn't it, Ernie?
Do they have M-A-I-Z-E because it's corn related.
Corn maze.
Oh.
That's okay. You were just one letter wrong.
I was not wrong, Bobby. I'm never wrong.
I'd like to buy a vowel, please.
buy
a vowel.
The I. That's probably just.
Well, you can have the vowel. I don't want it. But anyway, there is a maze, whichever spelling you want. It's from 5 till 10, let's see, on Fridays, from noon until 10 on Saturdays, and from 1 to 5, Monday through Thursday. But mm-hmm. you have to make reservations. Now, the Haunted Maze, here mm-hmm. we got something else Another that's haunted. That's not till next weekend and the weekend after that. But where is it? Okay, it's at Cooper Farms, which mm-hmm. is on West Virginia 3, behind the old Milton Middle School. Mm-hmm. Ernie G. Anderson, our producer, have you been to the Haunted Maze?
I have not, but now Route 3, West Virginia 3, would be around Hamlin or somewhere, so that may not be... There is one in Milton that they do every year, but if it's West Virginia 3, that'd be around Hamlin or Brandon.
Well, shame on the Herald-Dispatch, because I'm reading directly from them, and mm-hmm. they're spelling this, the Maze, M-A-Z-E, at Cooper Farms, West mm-hmm. Virginia 3, behind the Milton Middle School, Milton. No? Well, since you live in Milton...
And I'm assuming that's the old Milton Middle School, which is now a pre-K school, because the new Milton Middle's up on the hill.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That may be, Gene, that may be the address of the people who put it on at behind the school.
Oh, you think
so? It's a little bit fuzzy there, but I wanted to throw in that they also have a haunted house there, and for children, they've developed that over the last few years. In addition to the maze where you go,
the children's maze, let your children loose in there, and you can lose them for the night.
Well, it's like it has corn all around it, but it's like a little house with a lot of different compartments. Apparently, it'll be a lot of school kids are taking their groups go. It's very popular.
Hey, Bobby, you want to go dancing? Because Robert Trivett and the Starlight Band are playing tonight from 7 till 10. concessions available. Large menu, no alcohol or smoking permitted. But this also is in Milton, Ernie. It says the Milton Volunteer Fire Department at East Main Street, Milton.
That's almost out my back door, practically.
Oh, well, you can go tripping the light fantastic tonight.
Yeah, Robert Trippett's there, I think, every weekend. Also, my friend Dr. Charles G. Bailey. You're going to mention that, Bobby?
It's coming right up. Coming right up. We have it on the agenda. So feel just
all right, listeners, I made a pun, but nobody cares, so go on.
Well, before we want to get a couple more in here, but first of all, there is a special event taking place this weekend, tomorrow night, over at the Radio Museum here in Harveytown.
Oh, that's right,
And there is inductions into the Radio Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And there are a number of people that we know, Gene, mm-hmm. right near us who are going to be inducted, and mm-hmm. one person that's going to be inducted is Kitty Bocook.
Kitty Bocook, one of our lovely sales ladies here at Kindred.
And there's Emil Varney, who was a photographer, video guy for WSAZ for a number of years, back when he had that little handheld videos. He's mm-hmm. being recognized for that. You got Charles Bailey, who at Marshall, has been there for 30-some years.
Yeah.
It has a definite Huntington flavor of the...
Jack Kane, W-O-W-K.
Jack Kane.
And if you listen to Hoppy in the mornings, you know that mm-hmm. Kay Murray's his producer, and she's being recognized also, so... And if you've never been to the Radio Museum, that is just wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. It really is, up there, off Harvey Road, the old Harveytown School. So,
there's one other we want to get in. George Woody, who is an engineering architect, who helped put together the SAZ structures that we have right down the street from us. So they take in addition to on-the-air people, they take in engineers and salespersons. So
I wonder if they recognize the architect who designed that building. Probably not. Okay. No, well, what is that music that's playing, Ernie?
Sounds like the Trippet Band up in Milton.
Shenandoah.
Oh, my gosh. Can you believe that, Ernie? Oh, thank you, Ernie. Let's play us out
That'll
on
play
that.
Us out.
Yeah, okay.
Well, there's also Art in the Park this Sunday. We're going to
mention
that.
Oh, that's right. Listeners, thank you so much for being with us today, and we'll be back with you on Monday. I hope you'll have a wonderful weekend and do take in some of these activities that we've mentioned. Thanks for listening to Tri-State Viewpoint with Bobby and Gene. We'll be back with you on Monday on
the
Super
John
Talk.
The John Boy and Billy Big Show, morning 6 to 10 on Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930 WRVC Huntington, a service of Kindred Communications.